When I saw a video like that, and I've seen plenty, lots of great movies, lots of great documentaries. One of my favorites, about 10 years ago, Riding Giants came out, really talking about men that stepped up to the plate. Great, great film, great history. All of them interviewed afterwards. All of them had a story to tell about taking one on the head over and over and over again. This guy was a nobody. This guy wasn't in the top 10. He's not in Surfer Magazine. He'll never see the front page of that. It doesn't even list his name on the video. He went for it anyway. His name's not Laird Hamilton. That guy's just average guy. And he went down swinging. He survived. I did not want to see the end of that video, as most of you sitting here. And he fell on the first wave. Any surfers in the room? Right? The first one. You got another six to go at least. And it's just hammering him over and over again. Did you see the rescue? Did you see the attempt rescue? Over and over again. I actually saw within 20 feet, it looked like, that he was almost rescued. Relentless. So those guys don't go home at night thinking, I woulda, I coulda, I shoulda. If they even have a disagreement on land, they just don't see eye to eye with something. At that moment, in that situation, it doesn't matter. They just do it. Can you imagine being surrounded with a friend that when your week looks like hell, they will not stop and relentlessly pursue your rescue? Now, you can take this and go, well, that's what Jesus is. Yes, I know. I'm talking about a friend in this congregation, outside the walls, stepping into to say, I'll get within 20 feet, I'll get even closer, even if my life is on the line, because I know all about your story, and I love you, man, and I know you've got my back. I've never seen anything like that before. And I played it over and over again this week. You know why? Number one, that describes my week. I don't know about you guys. Started out like I'm on this thing and it's looking good. I've got my CO2. I've got everything. I'm ready. And I'm going down this week. This is going to be a great week. And just Tuesday, woo, hard news on Wednesday. Thursday. Last night I got a text. A really good friend. And his wife. Young people. They're not here on the island. They haven't even talked to me in 3 weeks. Not a word. You know where I'm going with this. I've never read a text so spot on, so to the point, so describing the exact situation that I'm in. Completely aerified water that guy was in. Completely surrounded. Just like a seagull in the water, just getting slammed left and right. Which end is up? And yet, two people with clarity, after praying, what is it about the name Andrew on our heart? God, what words do we need to say to him tonight? And the text came through. My wife is there. She's my witness. I'm touching up some things for today. Last night was a restful time. I had a long day of coaching yesterday, and it was back and forth the entire game, just 90 minutes. I was tired. And it was a good place for the enemy to work me over. You ever notice when the enemy gets in those last two hits, those last shots? I'll just call them what I called them in the South, a sucker punch. You know what I mean? You're already down. But you're not quite out, and then the enemy just throws those last ones before you can see it coming, and you're done. I really was set up for that. It could have happened. Thank you, God, for the rescue. This couple on a jet ski of emotion in my heart comes through. Get on. And, you know, they have no way of bailing out side to side. There's another one, and they just go right for the beach. And the rescue for me last night was, Andrew, we have your heart. We know right where this is. God has spoken to us, and here's what he has to say. Is there someone or some group or a couple you could honestly say would shoot you a text in the middle of nowhere, or at least get within 20 feet of the hell that you're in and take a shot for you, take one over the head for you, take a few, maybe even lose the jet ski and float right there alongside you? We're looking at Scripture this morning. It's loaded with guys like that. Paul was one of them. He didn't just stand on top of the cliff and go, you got this, boy. Come on. Hustle up. No, he was right there on the cliff next to me. Scraped, bloody, tired, exhausted. And the climb for him was equal. It just went right. I can track with him. All over Scripture, you can identify with the players, the big players, the ones that were there. And none of them had a script. Abraham, high risk, to a country unknown. No loved ones, no relatives, never made the journey before. Pack your stuff, family, let's go. Over and over again, Scripture's loaded. Recently, and once again, I'll go as far as to say that when I saw that video, I started thinking of the players in that video. First of all, who's the guy getting rescued? Me. Who are the ones doing the rescue? And I started being thankful for them. Slowly but surely, I started filling in that hole. Slowly but surely, great timing on that, I came up for air. And if you've ever been surfing in large waves, and I understand it was hitting really big over there at Shark these last couple days, swells up. Your first one, if you're on the first of the set and you're under, you get hit, you go under. Next one's on top of you, go under a little deeper, and it's darker. And if you don't open your eyes and you don't have significant air, you don't know which end is up. You're just sucking in water right into your lungs, and it is scary. Unless your feet can touch the bottom where I know this is down, that is up, you're just this whirling dervish. And I really felt several times this week, and I know I come clean every single Sunday on many things, but this week made it very difficult for me to even approach the thought of the pulpit. Just hammer time. And it wasn't the fact that I had a birthday party smack in the middle of it all. I literally could not wait for that moment. But I wasn't even ready for that. Because as soon as I left, another sucker punch. I left the arcade, and another sucker punch came. Recently, we had a young lady on our team, brand new, the cutest little thing. She's a freshman. She's never played soccer before. And her history, though, was great legacy. Her sister was very powerful. She had played for us all 4 years and left that legacy for her younger sister. A few years go by, and then her sister steps into her freshman year. And it's her turn. It's her chance. And she starts off like a whirlwind. September, October, going hard. But she's got to earn her stripes, so she takes her place on the bench, allowing for those veterans to get the job done to the extent they need to, and then we call her in, into the ranks. It's your turn. She stepped into a game where we were really playing well. Score was up. Morale was up. We had this. She literally went in the game for maybe 3 minutes. The ball barely had a chance to go from one side of the field to her side, her wing that she was playing, and just a little bit of contact between two knees. Just a tiny bit. And one falls down and one just keeps right on going. And this little girl, little Esme, went down with a dislocated knee. Just a tap. That's all it took. She was scared. She actually tried to get up and couldn't get up. And we've done this. I've done this. I don't know how many times. Dave's done this with me. Football injuries. We've seen dislocated things. But on this young, brand new, just like this butterfly right out of the cocoon. Here's my shot at this game. And it was sad because you know those things take time. The good news is we had a holiday break. couple weeks there, a stretch, and we started some therapy. We got this little thing, this little electronic machine. We plug her up. She kind of looks like R2-D2. It's making all these little noises, and we tease with her a little bit. And she seemed to be coming around. Like, the look on her face was, it's better. At least letting the coaches know what we want to hear. It's better, you know, that look. And then Wednesday came. Her first debut back from the injury. And she stood on the sideline. I just simply said to her, Esme, you ready? No, you don't want to say, Esme, how you feeling? You know, there's a certain way a coach needs to respond. I believe in you. Do you believe in you? I have hope. This is the day. Do you? And there was adversity all over the place. This isn't the time. This isn't the moment. She's not the one to put in. Be careful. A lot is at risk here, and yet there was more risk. The score was already down. We were not winning the game. And there was more risk of her going another day, maybe another week, and another chapter of fear. Literally, she had it between the look in her eyes. She went in that game and tore it up for 10 minutes. Played her guts out. She had a little sleeve she put in there. There was some swelling afterwards, and we had to take care of that. But she broke into her fear and just stepped into it. And the beauty of this was this. Because she's new, she knows very little of the program and how it works. She just is aggressive. We put her on the sideline closest to the coaching staff. Right? Those trusted vets, where do you send them? Right? You get there to the opposite wing. You guys, you know what you're doing. For the newbies, you stay within the sound of our voice. So we're not screaming and breaking veins all over the place, yelling at the other side. Within the sound of, Esme, you got it. Esme, drop. Esme, look up. Here she comes. Esme, back door. You know, you can just hear it. The coaching staff just firing little things to her. She's running around, back in the game. And then yesterday came. She started. We just saw this momentum. And she knew she was going to start. We told her in advance. And on the boat, she looked at me and she goes, Coach, I don't know. And mentally, she had gone back into, I need therapy. And see, that's the job of a coach. That is the job of our Father, the good Father, the good coach. He stands on the sideline of your life and my life, and he's like, kid, listen, I know it hurts. Listen to me. Look at me, not these other voices. You got this. And I have news for this congregation here in the 10:30 service. I don't care what your age is. I don't care. You may think, well, that's a great story for little Esme who's in ninth grade, or maybe that 21-year-old they're just coming out into the world and trying. No, you're still a child of the Father, a child of the King. You don't outgrow that. He's been around a lot longer than you have, and he's raised a lot of kids. You got this. Play with heart. Stay focused, Esme. Andrew, I know this week is looking the way it is. Don't lose heart. You lose heart, you lose your orientation. And this is going to be a long season. It's going to be a long life. It's going to be a really long and low marriage. Talk about parenting, you'll never make it. Focus. Listen to me. And the rescue begins, and the rescue begins. If anyone belongs to Christ, there is a new creation. Look at your notes. What a fantastic verse to hear on this Sunday. A new day. As God describes it, my mercies are new every morning. Amen? Are you guys awake? Because it's new, and it's coming, and it's a fastball down the middle for you this morning. I have got something new, and guess what? It's you. You don't have to look at the old man. Put it off. There's a rescue going on. He says, the old stuff is gone. Everything has been made new. I don't know about you, but I need to burn that one into the back of a t-shirt today. If I could just do something to my skin and not offend 1,000 people with an extra tattoo, that's one for me. I am made new. A new Christ, a new Jesus that I've discovered instead of the less wild lovers. The things in place of Jesus. The things in place of Christ that were never Jesus. They were never Christ. they were way false. I've discovered something new. You know what's beautiful about this? Is that as we realized to complete this player, this girl, we could not deal with soccer. We had to deal with her mental therapy. It's time to go in the game. We've got 10 minutes left. It's time to go in the game. God focuses on what? Versus people. Let's take a look. Yes. Heart, not the rules. Write it in. Grab your outline. Write it in. The heart is central. The beauty of the heart is everything comes from the heart. Amen? It is the wellspring of life. Scripture after scripture tells us you cannot outrun God. God has designed your heart. And He says, I have a heart. You are created in my image, male and female, in the image of God, with a heart that God wants to connect to His. And as a result, He says, get to know my heart. The things that are false, the things that are less wild, the things that are pulling from you, and the junk that you get yourself in that's aerified, just spinning around, is because we've not connected to the heart of God. And so what happens is we lose heart. We lose heart. See, that's how you stay charged. That's how you stay plugged in. God focuses on the heart. It's real easy for us to get caught up in a regimented lifestyle of rules. Too easy. Why? Because it's always been that way before. Or that's how my family's always done it. Or that's what this Bible tells me to do. Versus the heart of what Jesus wants you to do. What He's called you to do. The spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. Let's look at Scripture this morning in Matthew 5. There's a lot. So hang loose. Let's check it out. You've heard that it was said to our people long ago, you must not murder anyone. Anyone who murders another, judged. But I tell you, if you're angry, just angry with your brother or sister, you're going to be judged. You've heard that it was said, you must not be guilty of adultery. I'll take it further, Jesus says. If anyone looks at a woman and wants to sin sexually with her, in his mind, he's already done that with the woman. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't stand up against an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. Okay, talking about the face cheek here. Okay. If somebody wants to sue you in court and take your shirt, guess what? Leave them your coat as well. I had a rough week. Almost every single thing in this verse, almost, has slapped me upside the head. Either to deal with, or I've had to deal with it personally. Pain. Someone forces you to go with them 1 mile, doggone it, why are you stopping there? Go two. God focuses on one's heart, not one's performance. Write it in. Your performance matters. But to God, your heart matters most. And that's the deal. Because if your heart comes first to God, your performance follows. Amen? It's not performance first, and then your heart will get straight. He's after the heart. Throughout the week, occasionally, I'll put little requests to people, inviting people to church. I'll say something briefly online. Occasionally, I'll get the time and I'll go on social media. Yesterday, I saw probably one of the coolest rainbows I've seen on Catalina. I've seen them drop on the casino before, but our boat was leaving. How many saw at least one rainbow yesterday? At least one. Look around. Wow. Okay, you took the time. Good stuff. Some were up top. I saw photos of people on this ridge and this angle over here. Well, I was in a boat heading over, and the angle showed the rainbow literally moving down the coastline of the leeward side of Catalina. And when it stopped on Whites, there was this blue sky and a rainstorm right at Long Point. Epic. The master. Just a little airbrush for you. Here's some color for you. And a little rain there. A little blue sky right there. That's my Savior. And I started to breathe a little easier. I had a lot of stress. I needed that. Did you need that? Yeah, give credit where it's due. The master was at work yesterday. We're getting the rain. And we're getting it with rainbows. No extra charge for that. The beauty of the performer. The performance belongs to him. We don't got to do anything. Keep your heart in check with him. He has performed. He has navigated. He has schmoozed. He has cruised through a difficult conversation and handled it. Face like a flint towards religious spirit. Gentle to the doves in the midst of cracking a whip in the temple. He has shown it all and done it well. Relax. Follow his lead. Follow his lead. Scripture says in 1 Samuel, don't look at how handsome Eli is or how tall he is. I've not chosen him. I just imagine that little smile, that little glimmer, that little, you thought you knew who I was going to choose. Wrong. You know, that look. God does not see the same way people see. So people look at the outside, but the Lord looks at the heart. Once again, a reminder, what he wants is on the inside. And when we invite people to this service, the easiest way to do it for me is to say, you are welcome as you are. What else is there? Well, you got to go get cleaned up. You know, golf cart's got to be ready. You got to tuck your shirt in and a thousand Hail Marys. And you got to do this. No, you are welcome as you are. Please come to the house of God. Hear the message from God's word that will reach your soul through his spirit and energize your life and change it forever. That's all it is. You're welcome as you are. You don't got to fix it all up. Let him do that. The performance belongs to him. This one's a kicker. And this one had me thinking a lot. And it's number three because I had to ease into it. But it's heavy. Motive is everything. Motive is everything. God wants to know what your motive is. What is the motive of the heart? My friends, as I stand here and live and breathe, I struggle with this. There's a motive to everything we do. And there's a motive to everything we don't do. Speaking to the men, a man has to walk into fear and into the fears of his life. Not run away. Hats off to the guy who took the first wave. And I mean, the surface conditions were brutal. There was some heavy wind blowing offshore. The next wave, you can just see the wind on the wave and just the top spraying off the top. And this guy went right down that thing. He didn't last long. But hats off to him. He took a shot at it. Hats off to the guy and the couple of guys that jumped on that wave runner. And they went in for that rescue. Their lives were on the line as well. A man's got to walk into fear. You don't hide. You must face them, admit them, and fight them. We don't hide our fears. We meet them. We walk into them. Great movie, Lord of the Rings. I believe it's The Fellowship. Aragorn, maybe it's the last one. Aragorn's got to step into the mountain of dead souls. Remember that? Oh my gosh. You see the look on his face. The last place I want to go is into a mountain of dead souls. But he steps into it. Stepped into his position. Holds up the sword. And when the other sword meets it, they realize this is the king. Every one of them falls short. As the king is now standing there. He arrived as a man. Every man has this question. And once you start trying to break into that first barrier of fear, you realize you can handle this situation. But you've got to take the step. You've got to make the first move. Every man shares the exact same question down inside. And that question is this: do I have what it takes? I'm wondering that. You've wondered that? You have to find that answer. Adam said, I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid. And you don't need to be a psychologist to understand that. Okay? Understand that verse. And all the men you know will come into crystal clear focus. We need to take an honest look at the poser that every man creates and the fear behind him. For all of us, okay? Like Adam, we've gone into hiding. And all of us, like Adam, are afraid that we're not what we're meant to be as a man. And I look at this situation and I see a lot of people that are on the sideline. Would you go after another man that's struggling like that? We're made in the image of the Lion of Judah. Do you hear me? Wild, dangerous, unfettered, free. Is that how you normally feel, men? Is that how you normally feel? Wild, dangerous, free. That's the image of God. No question. That's who He is. He's leveled whole civilizations. He's fierce. He is love. He is truth. That's not how I feel inside most of the time, okay? Be honest. Men, let me ask you this. How do you feel most days on the inside? How do you feel? Think. Most days. How about like the kitten of Judah? Or maybe a panther or something? I don't know. The Lion of Judah? In the past, I've wrestled with a lot of fear. It's hard for me to enjoy even the wildness of the moment. I remember my family, January 17th, 2011, we arrived here. And when we got off the boat, it was hats and horns, but I realized I have no idea where we're staying tonight. I'd heard some things, and there's even talk of Campus by the Sea for a while there, but actually know where we're staying, know what it looks like. I was just trying to keep my kids together and wonder if we had cats running around. You know, we just got off that boat. We almost missed the boat, our first boat. All over the place. It was my great testing. It was a struggle for me when we left the house. I relaxed finally when we got to the Alamo, of all places. Literally, my wife remembers it. I missed my family. We're not going back. Not vacation anymore. We just left a driveway we'll never go back to. It was a struggle for me. What has happened? I mean, we all know we're describing the inner life of every man. There's a desire on one hand. It's true, and it's God-given desire. We want to do something. We want to accomplish this. You know, I want to come through. I want to charge the fields at Bannockburn, okay? I want to leap from the falls. I want to jump off whale's tail. I want to slay the dragon, rescue the beauty and the desires that are there. But on the other side, something has gone wrong with us. No question. We all know it. We are not what we were meant to be. And what happened? What went wrong? It's in Genesis 3 right there. The one tree we're not supposed to eat. We read that Eve saw the fruit. It was desirable. The enemy makes a false promise that if we eat it, we won't die. And what's stunning in that passage is the fact that she's being tempted to do something, okay? That God has commanded them both not to do. Where is Adam? Where is Adam? He's standing right there. And all this is happening, and he's completely taken out. He's absent. He might as well not even be there. He doesn't even answer. Immediately it results in something given away. Something was lost. And he saw the world differently. And immediately Adam puts fig leaves on. And he covers himself because immediately he saw that he was naked. And he says, I was afraid of God. I'm afraid. The first weasel. And it's my story. Dudes, it's your story. It's our story. We're born into that. Here's the wildness of God in all that you'll know in Genesis, that There's such a loaded chapter there, chapter 3. And here's what's so beautiful. Listen to me carefully. God did not say to Adam, listen, one week out, next Thursday, down there at the orchard, this is going to go down. Right? Eve, she's cruising in. This apple, serpent, be there. Here's what I want you to say. Take a stick with you too, okay? I'm going to lay it out for you, Adam. He doesn't do that. He didn't say jack squat. You know why? Because he had answered that question already. Adam, you have what it takes. You've named these trees. You've named these animals. You named the serpent. I've given you this woman. Adam, you have what it takes. He allowed Adam to play this out. And that's the deal. Jesus steps up to the plate. And this is where things go right. And he throws a fastball. God wants Adam to step into the moment. God's asking men here in Avalon to step into the moment. He's asking for Andrew to put aside the fear and to live as if tomorrow could be our last. And for some of us in this room, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Difficult information this week. Difficult things to swallow this week. Lives cut short. It's hard to swallow. Step into the moment. Step up to the plate. You have what it takes. Jesus says this, and he throws a fastball right here. Look at your notes, Matthew 6. Be careful, because when you're doing good things, I'm letting you know, don't do them in front of people to be seen by them. Step up to the plate and do it because it's the right thing to do. If you do that, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven if you're just trying to please people. When you give to the poor, don't be like the hypocrites. They blow trumpets. They're all over the synagogues and the streets so that what? People will see them. People will honor them. That's not how God plays. I tell you the truth. Those hypocrites already have their full reward. So when you give to the poor, don't let anyone know what you're doing. Your giving should be done in secret. When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand in the synagogue. They love to be on the street corners. They love to pray so everybody sees them and they get all the glory. I tell you the truth, they've got their reward. I don't play. This is how it is. God sets you up for success by delivering that. Motive is everything. Why you do what you do. Accept all the glory, accept all the praise, accept all the righteousness. And after a while, you better believe it, God's going to turn around and go, I don't play. People focus on performance. Write that in. That's where they go. The world creates a pressure to perform. And performance, it's an outward action produced from an inward desire to please others that doesn't reflect the real you. Make sense? You know why the performance game keeps us a loser? Because we blame others for our actions. Catch that? You're looking at me right here. This morning I may be public enemy number one coming out with this truth, but I have lived through this pain. I'm letting you know. We blame others for our actions and we don't take responsibility. And that, my friends, is why the performance game keeps us a loser. That's why we get worked and worked and worked, or sidelined and no one puts us in the game. Because we're just one big walking fear factor. Number two, we lose our identity. You just lose it. And we do that to please those who we're performing for. All of a sudden, we're just like everybody else, one big clone. These are not in your notes. The performance game keeps you a loser because you lose your identity and you're just like everyone else. We miss out on God's plan for us. That's another one. Who wants to miss that? Who wants to just travel the world looking for what God may have in store for you and miss out on his plan for you? Because the answer to your question is right under your nose. You have what it takes. Relax. Follow my lead. So how do you combat the pressure to perform? What do you do to defend against that? Responsibility is everything. So it starts with responsibility, literally. Be responsible with your faith. Faith. Be responsible. Trust God for your performance. It's off your shoulders. I'm going to trust you, and whatever happens, happens. And I had a fleeting moment of joy the other night when I said, I could care less what the score looks like tomorrow. That's hard to say as a coach, man. I was digging deep on this one. But it came out. What I said was, you just do your best. Whatever the result is, it is. As long as I know when you get back on the bus, you gave everything, you win. The best player on the field is the one having the most fun. And on the surfboard. You're having the most fun. You've given everything you have. The results are up to God. I've tried in this relationship. I've tried in this family relative disaster. Trust God for your performance. What does it look like? Fall back on God's grace when you're weak and you feel the pressure to perform. His grace is everything. I was reminded of that last night from the text from that couple. By the way, it was Levi and Amanda, out of nowhere. Amanda just said, God's grace is sufficient. I don't know what's going, but I just need to deliver this good word to you. And I sat there going, just like dry lips and putting on a sweet little thing of Carmex, baby. You know? I'm like, God's grace. God's grace. God's grace. Woo! Thank you, Amanda. Levi swoops in. Dude, I love you so much. This is brother stuff. Here comes another jet ski. Woo! And then another jet ski. And finally, I made it to the beach. Friends, let's look at some steps for developing a new focus. And I end with this. Ask God for a new heart. I think it starts there for my seekers in the room. Your heart can be made new. Create in me a clean heart, O God, filled with clean thoughts and right desires. Can I give you some Carmex this morning, dry folks? Create in me a clean heart, O God, filled with clean thoughts and right desires. Oh, I'm sorry. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Say it with me. Filled with clean thoughts and right desires. Is this starting to feel better? How about one more time? I got all the time in the world. Here we go. Create in me a clean heart, O God, filled with clean thoughts and right desires. Same. Okay, just check. You made it. Say it. Memorize it. Plaster it on your mirror. Brush your teeth. Look at it. Put it in your headphones to some song that says this. I don't care what it is. If you can say this, eventually you will believe this. Get it to the filter, it will sink into the heart. The mind is the filter of the heart. Fill your mind with crap. Fill your mind with sin. Fill your mind with fantasy. Fill your mind with anything that's ungodly, and your heart will die. You will lose heart. Filter it out. Create in me. Clean me. Fill me. I need new desires. I need new thoughts. Folks, it doesn't take months and months and months. Believe it. Create in me. The psalmist says, I'm ready. Do it. I need a new heart. You do have to examine the condition if you've been given a new heart. Maybe you've been given one. Where does it sit today? Let's examine our ways and test them. Let us return to the Lord. Great verse, Lamentations. I think if I'm honest, I pilot from a lot of uncertainty, okay, into perseverance and then into prayer. It's kind of my cycle. My wife oftentimes gets very tired of sitting down. She's still married to me. She's still working on me. God's using her to help me with that. But I have a lot of uncertainty. Then I push through. Then I start praying. I sure wish it was the other way around. But still with some uncertainty. Even though I think I'm getting through with a prayer life, my heart doesn't fully rest until the thing I am after is accomplished. Let me help you. I just got home from a little family vacation. the hard conversation with a friend, lovingly disciplining my soccer players, realizing they may not get to play and I really need them, creating some kind of maturity or commitment that's new for them, some integrity for them, getting my kids launched. Anyone there with me? Just making sure I've done all that I can to get my kid where they need to be. If I knew from the beginning it was all going to work out, I would live entirely differently through all the twists and turns along the way. I would be so much more grounded. I would actually live with faith and hope. I think you know where I'm headed. The Christian is meant to be the most grounded person in the world. The one with the lightest heart, the freest spirit. And yet, we're offered the chance right now to live life backwards, from the end, backwards. There's hope. We know it. Knowing our life is going to turn out beautiful. What a gift is this? Hope works like this. It reaches into the future. It sees that everything is going to be okay. It seizes the truth and allows us to get off this emotional roller coaster of today's circumstances. That heavy weight. And then another one on Tuesday and another one on Wednesday. I remember packing for the family Christmas gathering a few weeks ago. I was so excited. I was seriously looking forward to it. My daughter knew all about it. I was, Maddie, I can't wait to see you, girl. But I'm going to be honest with you. I could feel the old uncertainty. That stuff still there. Is this going to work? Are we all going to make it through this one? I'm not fully settled in my heart. That's how most people live. Catch that? From certainty into some sort of striving. And then only, by the way, once it's over, you get a chance to rest. It's usually when people get sick. You know, the anxiousness, all the endorphins are flying, your body's going for it. When do you normally get sick? Vacation. Your body's changing, it's transitioning from all that work. I got to be in at 7, I got to be in at 5 a.m., I have to cook, I have to clean, go to bed at this hour, I got to do it again. Your body's not getting sick usually during those times. Sometimes they do if you're a school teacher. But most of the time when you get sick is when you try to rest. It's actually when you're on vacation. It happens all the time to people. I really hate this ride. But it's effective. Because each new wrinkle, each new turn of events is just different from the last one. And we got baited into it. And here's what it sounds like. But how is this going to turn out? Or what's going to happen this time? Those anxious questions that you know you're not going to get the answer to. So you stay in them and they'll drive you nuts. And so we live from uncertainty to the next uncertainty, from circumstance to the next circumstance, with barely a chance to catch our breath and experience, quote unquote, Sabbath rest that is offered to the people of God. Hebrews, great verse. Now we who have believed enter that rest. Hebrews 4:3. The world continues to strip away our groundedness by giving us so much information. We hardly know what to do with it. We hear an inspiring message. We walk away with a word of hope. And we think, that's good. That's really, really good. But honestly, we stay with it for about 60 seconds. Move on to the next thing. That's the fruit of Instagram. Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube culture, a quick little experience, little piece of inspiration, but nothing like groundedness at all. Meanwhile, hope calls to us, and it's saying, hey, Hobbs, Avalon Church, people of Avalon, there is another way. I don't want to wait until my losses mount so high that I can finally choose the way of hope, the hope, the anchor of my soul, hope. No, why wait? I don't want to call a 5-minute video enough to ground me in hope. I love Toby Mac. I played his video last week, and I sung that song all week long. I see God in everything. What a great verse. What a great song. What a great promise. It's all over Scripture. But I needed more. I tried to sing it. And I was just getting work this week. It helped, but I needed more. I needed other folks. I needed other rescuers. I don't want to sit back and just dwell in it, abide in it, imagine it. I'm going to stay with it long enough that my soul actually gets off this uncertainty ride and puts root down into something much more reliable. Amen? Friends, there's always something happening here in California. I don't have cable anymore. I'll still figure it out on YouTube. Mudslides, fires, drought, political unrest, crime, massacres, the worst it would seem in U.S. history in recent years. Not just here in California. Massacres all over Houston, widespread damage, devastation in Puerto Rico. On and on it goes. After all that, exactly what is it that you're grounding yourself in? Think. I want to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. I therefore have to study it. I've got to receive it. I've got to memorize it. I've got to imagine it. I've got to agree with it. I've got to stay in it. I don't want to forsake meeting with my brothers. I don't want to stop coaching. I see ministry there. I want to be able to accept instruction and criticism and understand that it's done in a way to help me with grace. I want to see what God has for me in my next mission. Stay there. Effect on me. If that sounds good to you, then I urge you this morning to start praying and diving into Scripture more than ever before. I'm going to say what I say every single week from this pulpit. Please get plugged in. Please don't Lone Ranger. Please don't think I got it good up in my cove here where I live or my canyon terrace where I'm at. Forget it. You're just setting yourself up. And you're going to wear a lot of fig leaves. And everybody knows it. Get rid of the fig leaves. Call attention to your fears. Ask for help. Men, get with men. Women, get with women. Get rid of the stuff that freaks you out and get there. You can work on those details later. The enemy is going to do everything. It is an assault on your heart. The wellspring that these groups draw from is a wellspring of life. A place where you're known, you're heard, you're cared for. And as I examine my heart's condition, I know I need to get grounded in hope. I'd love for that to happen to you as well. Put together a plan. Keep your heart right. Be drastic if needed. If your right eye causes you to sin, holy cow, take it out. Throw it away. Well, it's better to lose one part of your body than to have your whole body thrown into hell. Am I reading this right? I'm sure this just showed up this morning. I wasn't here last night. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Throw it away. Better to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Woo! Fastball down the middle. We need each other. We need to call attention to the things that the enemy has hidden. And that stuff in the light is there. Thank goodness to get help, but that stuff in the dark will be moving into the light. It's just a matter of time. Get help. What does your plan include? I put that in your notes. Natalie has a little section there. My plan includes. Don't write anything right now. I mean, you can, but everyone's looking, all right? So don't do that. Go to lunch. Go home. Take a nap. How's that sound? Take a nap. It's Sunday. Great. Some of you guys are smiling like, are you serious? Figure it out. Some of you got to go to work. I get it. Find a Sabbath, okay? And after your meal and after you've had rest, say, God, come near. Draw near to me. I apologize for the stuff that got in the way. I need you. I need a plan for my heart. And then pick up the pen. Then begin to journal. Or if you have a phone in your notes section, do that. I don't care. But set yourself up for a conversation with the one who desires time with you so much that in his fierceness, he still has tons of love and grace, and it's just for you. It's available to you. Your heart matters. And your life matters to others. Do it for that reason alone. One last thought. When I change my focus to be like God's focus, my vision for living a great life, it's going to change. It's going to increase. Come on up. It's going to magnify. You talk about Avalon turning around, people go, you know, how big is that church in Avalon? How big is the enemy? What's he been up to? The church has room to grow. I don't care if it's here. I don't care if it's, you know, Singing Waters. What a wonderful group of people. If you're Catholic and you're visiting with us this morning, may the things of the gospel come alive in your heart and go do church. Go do church. Change it upside down. And I'm so thankful you're here this morning. The church is alive and it belongs to one person. It belongs to Jesus. It's His kingdom. How we do it does matter. It does. Because we point things to Him or we mess up. Freedom in the non-essentials and unity in the essentials. The gospel matters. Your heart matters. Preaching like this from Jesus, what He says, matters. Go where you'll grow. Go where you will grow. Find a small group. Be heard, be known, be cared for. Don't forsake meeting together as some people do. Father, this morning we hand you not just the beginnings of a new year, but the beginnings of a new opportunity. The gospel at hand. You want to know all that's inside us. We want to know, can we afford to make that clear? Is there something there that might get in the way, or we might not look cool enough? Jesus, come in and just rip those fig leaves off of us and say, I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. Don't be afraid. Give in to that fear. Take the shot going down this mountain. I've got rescues along the way. I'm not going to let you know what it looks like. I just want you to believe that you have what it takes to step into it. You've got this. Stick with heart. Don't lose your orientation. I'm right here with you. In Jesus' name, amen.